Savannah to learn about the book, The Garden of Good and Evil. That's the same prosecutor who was cited for prosecutorial misconduct in that case twice, and that case was overturned. So when we're talking about constitutional law, I think what the lawyers had to do was they had to really say, look, you know, people are ignoring the facts in this case. You're ignoring the truth in this case. You're ignoring the biases in this case. So let's show you that this is against someone's constitutional right to be protected as someone that's innocent.
Martina Correa, talk a little bit about Troy Davis, your brother on death row.
This man took care of my sister when she was paralyzed from the neck down as a teenager. He gave up most of his teenager years helping my family, and they just had to paint him out to be a monster in order to get a conviction. But when you have the witness, the main witness that all this took place about that was being pistol whipped that night, and he said, they said that the police officer was shot and killed because my brother was fighting somebody over a can of beer. This witness is on a national news saying, I never saw Troy Davis in the parking lot. The police refused to give me medical attention. I was bleeding profusely, and I told them anything they wanted to hear so that I can get medical attention. Now, that's their key witness. But what are they saying? If the witnesses were lying, if they're changing their testimonies because they're lying now, why would they lie now? They still face perjury. That's life in prison for a death penalty case. They have more to lose now than they did then. But my thing is, they never had my brother until this person that was actually the person that other witnesses say is the shooter went to the police department the next day with a lawyer and said, I'll tell you what happened, but I don't want to face any charges. Now, he's the only person that testified he had a gun, the only person that Larry Young, the person being pistol whipped, said was attacking him. But yet still, my brother sits on death row, and all he was trying to do was stop an altercation. Why wasn't this young man charged as an accessory to murder? He's the only one that had a gun, the same caliber gun the police was shot with, and it was never found because he testified, I threw my gun away. If your gun did not shoot the police officer, why do you need to throw it away? They're trying to protect the system because they know that there's police and prosecutorial misconduct, and it would be cheaper for them to kill my brother Troy than to allow them to be exposed. I've been threatened by the Klan. I've been threatened by the Fraternal Order of Police. I've been threatened by just people that just have hateful spirits. But you know what? They're cowards because they may threaten on an email. They may threaten in a letter. They may threaten on a phone call. But I am still standing. I am still fighting. And I will not be moved until the system of injustice is broken down and exposed. And that's why I'm fighting, because I have a son, and I don't raise my son to be a black male. I raise my son to be a man, and I don't want him to be judged by the color of his skin 20, 30 years from now. I want him to be judged by who he is and what he has to contribute to this society.
Martina Correa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again, on October 14th, the U.S. Supreme Court denied a petition that could have been used to help save Troy Davis's life. Troy Davis, Martina Correa, his family, and his attorneys vow to fight on. The state of Georgia could set an execution as early as October 27th. You've been listening to Martina Correa, Troy Davis's older sister. Laura Tate Cagle of Amnesty International's Georgia Death Penalty Abolition Office joined us, and we also heard Attorney Deirdre O'Connor, an attorney licensed in California and Georgia and director of Innocence Matters. She wrote an amicus brief in support of Troy Davis's cert petition for certiorari. The voice of Troy Davis was recorded during earlier interviews from death row. The website for information on the case is www.gfadp.org, or you can put the words freetroydavis.com in your web browser. Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by Pacifica Radio Network. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact Air Traffic Controller Ursula Rudenberg at ursula@pacifica.org. That's U-R-S-U-L-A at pacifica.org. This week's show was produced at WHUS at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. I'm Dory Smith. In addition to Sprouts theme music, we also heard music from the soundtrack to the film Dead Man Walking, about Sister Helen Prejean's effort to end the death penalty.
And that was Sprouts. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. Coming up next, it's Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides with your favorite radio broadcaster, Robert Norris, and special guest, Rebecca Witherspoon.
Rebecca Wimberly.
Rats. Wimberly. Stay tuned. This is a woman who has been, shall we say, having some interesting encounters with the Santa Cruz Police Department, or one particular, and we'll be talking with her about that. She's also a singer, and she'll be singing for us, hopefully, if her throat is operational. That was Peggy Seeger from her album 3 Score and 10. The name of it is Logan County Jail. And had I known it was so country, I might not have played it because I'm not a big country fan. Anyway, my name is Robert. In the studio with me is my guest, Black Rose. Hey there, BR.
Hello.
And you're a singer. You're an artist. You're a jailbird. What else are you? Tell me about yourself a little bit.
Oh, I'm a lover. I'm a mother. I'm a freedom fighter. Just an all-around, I like to call myself an artist, an educator, an activist, and a student as well.
Well, how long have you been in Santa Cruz?
I've been in Santa Cruz, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month, checking out the townspeople, visiting, thinking about settling in.
And you are a woman of the African-American persuasion.
Yes.
And you're also a person who's had the occasional encounter with authorities because you do singing on the street and you do artwork as well.
Yeah, and I've always been really out there, just aggressive. Like, listen to this, listen up, you know, you can't deny I'm standing here and I got something to say.
So what have you got to say?
Well, mainly my music is about, and my writing, any kind of art I do is about making you question yourself because it all starts from within me, me questioning myself, am I doing the right thing? And what is what's happening around me, right? You know, are people just treating other people with dignity, basically? I sing and I write, and my paintings as well come out in very aggressive form because I want them to be a bit shocking just to touch your emotions.
And I don't think I've seen your artwork. I did hear one of your songs last night. And I heard about you. In fact, I'll be playing some interviews and you're welcome to hang up and stay through the show, depending on what your schedule's like tonight. But usually what I do with guests is I commandeer them as kind of co-hosts.
Okay. Yeah. I'll stick around.
Give a different perspective, if I ever let them say anything, which often, of course, I'm constantly interrupting. For those of you who want to be part of the show, if you're listening in, you can, or, well, yes, if you want to be part of the show, you can call in. 427-3772 is the call-in number, 427-FRSC, because we're Free Radio Santa Cruz, or Freak Radio Santa Cruz, depending on who's broadcasting and who's listening. But again, it's an easy number to call in, 427-3772, and if you want to talk to Black Rose or to me, or you have some updates, perhaps that's one coming in now, we want to hear them. We're a community station, we try to broadcast stuff that other people don't. Here's your chance to speak your piece. Hi, you're on Free Radio with...
Yeah, my mic's turned down, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, you know, it's good, actually. Sometimes my mic is turned down, and they hear more of you and less of me, which is perhaps more appropriate, since you are... they hear me all the time. And this is their first time hearing you. So, again, thank you, caller, for letting me know. 427-3772 is a call-in number if... You know, you also hear a technical problem like that on the air. Like, you know, somebody's turned off the mic, or there's a big wheeze or hum, or, you know, if you hear police, you know, breaking into the studio, it's appropriate to
call. Give us a warning.
Yeah, call in. We probably would know about it already, but, you know, maybe you could add to the general confusion or general consternation. You can also get this show later in case you want to check out the archive, because these shows are generally archived at the HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website. www.huffsantacruz.org, all one word, all small letters, huffsantacruz.org. And then you go to the name of the show, which is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, and you find the date, and you download, and you can actually hear it. And I know you were asking about that earlier, Black Rose,
okay.
So you can actually hear the mess I've made, the kind of savaging you're getting here in the studio.
I think you're doing good for the world.
Yeah, actually, you know, you're quite articulate, and I think you're probably more likely to make a mess of me, but we'll see who makes a mess of who at the end of the show.
Why has it got to be a mess?
Well, life can be messy, you know.
Yeah, a beautiful disaster.
A beautiful disaster. Well, we have a lot of disaster happening, and some of it's beautiful, I guess, certainly. So probably I should pick this up from where I started, which is... I got a phone call from Donna Dice, who's an activist who was beaten by Sergeant Christian Lamas. Beaten isn't the right word. Her arm was broken, and he knelt on her chest, and he held her down in handcuffs with a broken arm behind her back.
Oh my God.
She reported for a significant period of time out there on right along the ocean front near the parking lot where her RV was parked. She's a disabled woman, 60 years old, lives in her van. And the officer, Sergeant Lamas, apparently was investigating marijuana use or some such bullshit, which we had hoped we would abandon, you know, decades ago as any kind of waste of police time, which, you know, is ridiculous. But, you know, no, not the police are still rolling right along with this kind of horse shit. And the city council under Mayor Coonerty is proceeding to, you know, not just lend a blind eye to this, but to throw more money at the police department and allow for a complete lack of accountability on this issue. But anyway, Donna called in, and she's still going to court, even though it was her arm that was broken. All the non-police witnesses say she was doing absolutely nothing. It was criminal in any way, except she didn't want to talk to the officer.
Mm.
And she was just getting into her van, so I don't want to talk to you, in essence. Or that was the general impression. And according to the witnesses, no one said you're under arrest.
Mm.
She actually had some confusion as to whether this individual even was a police officer, though I think he was an unconventional uniform, and he had a badge that was sort of, I don't know, on his belt or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what the story was.
I saw a couple of plain clothes in the park the other day. They kind of fit in.
Yeah, I could. I'm not sure. I mean, I wasn't there. I just know that it was pretty clearly from the interviews I took and then broadcast on free radio, pretty much clear excessive force based on the witness accounts. And indeed, I believe that she's been offered a settlement even prior to trial if they can just shut her up and shut her down. But she said no so far, and she's going to court. The trial is not the trial of Sergeant Lamas, which it should be. It's the trial of Donna Dice for the cooked-up charge of resisting arrest, which you probably have some familiarity with yourself there, Black Rose.
I do.
Well, Donna called and said that there was a woman at the corner of the Borders store at, I guess, Pacific and Soquel. Who was being abused, brutalized by the police with a large crowd of people protesting. She was saying, I'm being arrested because I'm homeless. And I actually may have played that on the air. I guess I couldn't have played it on the air because it was my last show was Sunday, and it happened on Wednesday, or happened on Tuesday. Today is Thursday, so the day before,
yeah,
night before
Tuesday.
Last. But that's how I heard about it. And, of course, I got some interviews from some people who saw it. Some who said, oh, she was resisting. And others who said, no, she was, they were police were way out of line. And then I came across you, and you were sitting on a bench, looking like the evil criminal that you are, with that horrible smile of yours. And so you gave me a lengthy interview, a video interview, unfortunately, so I can't really play it because I don't have the capacity to play it in the studio right now, or if I do, I don't know how to do it. But I'm hoping that I can get the audio section of that made available, but better, we have you here.
Yeah.
And why don't you give us, again, assume we know absolutely nothing about what happened, and tell us what went down on Tuesday evening at Soquel and Pacific, what you were doing. And
yeah, well, I'm out there, and of course, when you're in a new town, you're looking for a job. I want to state, for the people that I'm not against working, what I mean? But I do have certain standards that now over time I have, I just want from myself. Certain things like dressing the way I would like to dress. And
by working, you mean taking a kind of a regular job.
A regular job with a tattoo.
Art can be work.
Art. I work all the time.
I work
all the time.
Street performing is hard
exactly.
work.
Exactly. And I'm always writing. I'm always reading. I'm always going over vocab things. I'm always talking to people trying to get more information.
Well, that sounds like self-improvement. But I'm talking about something where you're contributing something to the community. You're giving them a service. And in return, they're trying to give you some means to continue your
life. Well, being homeless in itself is work. I think, just trying to make sure that you don't get in trouble with the police, trying to make sure that you have a place where your stuff is safe, trying to make sure that you get to the places where you can have food in the day in case you don't make money. But I like street performing because even if I get $10, $20, $30 in a day, for an hour of something that it might have taken me 4 years to actually craft fully, I know that it's appreciated. So
Can you give us an example of the kind of performance you give? Do you want to do that now, or do you want to do that later?
I can do whatever. I'll do you a little poem called Black Rose. It's like an intro. It was an intro on my demo.
Okay.
So it kind of gives you a general feel of what I'm like.
Pacific Avenue.
Yeah, and it gives you a feel of who I am as a person. As I said, I speak and sing. Usually, the songs that I like the most that I've written are very aggressive in nature. But as a person, I don't want to, I understand that that side is in me, but I don't want to live like that. And there are certain things that I think that society does or people do that trigger that side of you. And, I'm not by any means out of control. I have been more out of control at certain points in my life, but I've learned certain things. And this is actually a side of myself that I am learning to tame because there are so many things that make me upset in the world that when I see that aggressive side coming out of me physically, is when I go to write or when I go to sing, because that is a more peaceful way of getting that energy as it comes up in you. Out of you, know what I mean, as opposed
it's kind
to
of therapy for you.
Yeah, exactly, spiritual exactly, therapy. Totally. That's what art is to me. Yeah. So this piece is called "Have You Ever Seen a Black Rose?" And again, it's just a little bit about why I call myself Black Rose. I think life is bittersweet. You have to take the good with the bad. You won't know what good is unless you understand the bad if you've been through it and come to a new recognition of it. So, have you ever seen a black rose? Every day in the mirror. The black rose is not a wild flower. The black rose is a wild fire, burning that is bittersweet as the wisdom moves her higher. A black rose is the tender rebel of the garden, deep, delicate, and extremely rare. Not that she noticed she was different until the pansies and tulips decided to stare. But blossom any young bud must rise to see her glory fully and then return to dust. So farewell to all you common roses that never will rebloom. You live to be wrapped and sold by the dozens and die in someone's room. No matter the pleasure of her fragrance nor the fury of her thorn, Sunday is the day they say for the black rose to be born. And no, the black rose is not a wild flower. The black rose knows her creator's plans. She'll be too seldom seen to fully understand, too poisonly innocent to be removed by hand, bold and exotic, afraid of no man. And I will graciously wither and rise on Sunday again.
Yeah. And any musical?
I got some songs. I thought you were going to ask me some more about.
I can. Whatever you'd like.
I can sing for you, too. Yeah. Like I said, I started off as a writer.
Uh-huh.
I got my first recognition at 12, published in a renewal circular for Battered Woman. For a piece that I did on battered women, which my mom was just blown away by and started showing.
You're
it
to a battered
everybody.
Woman yourself.
I've never really been battered. I met my father at 26, and he punched me in the face. And
on meeting you? No.
On getting away from him when I finally wanted to get out of the situation that I was in with my father, because I don't think he looked at me as his daughter. He looked at me as a woman. You know what I mean? And so having not raised me. We did a lot of partying together, and I just going, this is not what I was looking for. I was mm-hmm. looking for somebody who would tell me that these aren't the right things to do, and I can help you out of this, you know. But I got deeper into it with him because of his lifestyle.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
Uh-huh.
And always will have an old soul and a young spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why my art reflects this gentle fire, because it's like when you're young, you want to run up and touch everything at least once and, you know, explore what it is that is in the world. And then when you're older, you have to realize, you know, what it is that you do and how it affects the people around you, too, to get a little bit of that wisdom going in with, hopefully, your inner child. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I was thinking today on my way over here that I wanted to sing the same song, the one, because I internally sometimes when I'm on the corner singing or talking to people, you know, I'll have to smile even when I'm singing a song that's a little painful for me, so that they understand that that's not just what I'm about. You know what I mean? Like, and I thought that being out there that day, that maybe some of the pieces that I was doing, you know, they get under the skin, and you know, some like I told you yesterday, some of them have some curses in them because I need to release my aggression, and I do it through telling the absolute truth. This is why this happened. This is why I felt like this. You know, I write my songs from real life experiences, so.
Mm-hmm.
That piece that I did for you yesterday was called You'd Rebel Too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
you want to do it again, eh?
Yeah, that's the one.
You're constantly rebelling. All right, well, I guess we can allow that.
My name is above rebel in the dictionary.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, it's the word right before rebel. It goes Rebecca in the dictionary and then rebel. And my grandmother used to call me rebel.
Just a coincidence, I'm sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, hopefully I'll remember all of it, but it goes, I've gotten so far away, far away, far away from the trouble I made for myself. And if it ever gets too bad again, I know I'll run, and I don't know where, but I know that I'll make myself. I've never been too far away that I don't remember all those days what the guru said I should forget now. Don't need another how-to book telling me how, 'cause that's when I'll rebel. And ooh, you would rebel too. Trust me, baby, I feel you, I do, 'cause I've been there too. Take a look at how well we really know ourselves. Is there anybody ringing the bell? Because I hear one. If we we got nothing to fear. Why do we still run? Why do we still run? 'Cause here they come with their annex and their antidotes, and everybody's telling me that they read in the notes I was a problem child. Maybe that's why I'm so wild. But I recall, and ooh, you would rebel too. Trust me, babies, I feel you, I do, 'cause I get there too. Is there anybody ringing the bell? Because I hear one, and it's loud and it's bright, and it's coming in clear, and it's loud and it's bright. Few dare ask who's on the inside, but I remind that you'd rebel too. That's just a brief of it, so.
As I recall, it was a little longer when you did it on the street.
There's always, I have so many in my head at this point, unless I sit there and I'm going to do it like a set, you know, in a club or something. I always forget little pieces, and especially on public radio, I always feel I'm, I want to give people just enough so that they come out and ask about it and ask me to sing the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like this big secret I'm holding until the supernova or something. And I don't want it to be exploited, and I don't want to exploit myself. I always have the questions of that, too, because I've been on the streets and knowing the street people and underground for so long. I'm always worried that if I ever get my shot, you know, and let's say monetary funds come through, will I do the right thing with it? So I'm always just giving little tiny bits of myself, because I'm afraid of, I think I'm afraid of success, actually, you know, because I don't want to become what I don't like.
Co-opted and corrupted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the feeling, too. Though I got to tell you, my voice probably doesn't match yours. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. We're talking with Black Rose, who is a singer whose song was cut short Tuesday evening by the Santa Cruz Police Department. Tell us a little bit more about the days before. You were kind of sitting at this at the corner of Soquel and Pacific, and this is a, you know, we have this bizarre matrix of rules downtown created by the merchants, essentially to allow the police to do whatever the hell they want, but in theory providing certain very limited safe zones for people to sing or to sit down and panhandle, spare change, perform, or politically table. That's if you're, you have to be 10 feet away from a building. If you have a display device, you have to be 14 feet away. If you're panhandling, usually for performers, it's a display device, which means like a hat or, you know, a cup or something. That's called a display device. Were you aware of the rules, and were you obeying them?
I had gotten, it's a funny thing, when I first got into town, no one said anything. I saw police go by, they said hello, I was singing, they stopped and, you know, kind of were around smiling. That was the first week. Second week, you know, the kids that are in the neighborhood that I guess, you know, are either moving through town or are regulars in town, locals, they started coming around, and we get these groups hanging around, me, myself, and Dream Theater.
Unhealthy associations of local people, alarming to the more conservative
so
community.
So then I guess the police eye becomes more like, oh, they're settling in, you know. And then the beginning of the third week, I got this little lady and a gentleman coming around in brown suits.
Oh, yes, the hosts. We call them the pests,
and they
actually
came and they gave me a copy of what the rules are, because I guessed that I was not following them, which no one said to me in the beginning. So I read
what
it over.
What rules were you violating?
At that point, she just wanted me to know that I was too close to buildings.
Right.
Maybe the owners were, you know what I mean? She was just, and also that I should move every hour. She was just,
which is
like,
not,
you know,
true. You only have to move every hour if somebody makes a complaint and requests you to move, although that law itself is unconstitutional.
But yes, and they should also come up to you and tell you if someone
they
has
done that.
They're
required to by the actual ordinance.
You know
so
what
she
I mean?
Was, she, the host, probably the elderly woman who's the main host, misinformed you about that.
So I'm, well, she gave me the pamphlet, which I thought was very helpful. Wow,
the pamphlet then misinformed you. Hang on a second. Okay. We got a caller. We always give preeminence to our callers. We treat our guests like shit. And the callers, too, usually. But here. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Black Rose and Robert.
Hey, Robert. Madison.
Madison, have you been listening to the show?
I'm trying to find you. Are
well,
you on?
Yeah, we are on. Why don't you try to find us, listen, and then call back?
Okay.
Okay. Madison has always got something interesting to say, sometimes something paranoid to say, and sometimes something informative to say. So, you know, but I really try to direct people to pay some attention to what we're actually talking about on the air. On the air with me is Black Rose. She's a singer who was arrested by the police 2 days ago. She's back at liberty, but she does face a court trial. Actually, it's a potential jury trial because it's a misdemeanor, resisting arrest, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be coming up. Well, the arraignment will be coming up, then the pretrial, then all this other shit, which may well be dropped because the police, you know, they use these. Their main objective is to run around and essentially use a form,
get you to resist.
Form of well, they don't. No, they don't want to get you to resist. They want to get you to comply. But those who resist are, you know,
the
perfect opportunity
is,
for them to try
to
out
do?
Their, you know, their tactics on.
What he asked me to do was not even a part of the rules.
Well,
you know, what this all started from.
Let's go back again. I mean, because I want to hear about the story. But and if you want to jump ahead, feel free to do that.
Okay.
But you mentioned that I'm going to have to get her name because
I think
she's
it's
been
Nancy.
Is it Nancy?
I think so.
The elderly kind of grandmotherly host woman.
Yeah.
And this little kind of tottering older man who's kind of a short guy.
Yeah. She's
with her
like red hair, nice woman.
Yeah. He comes up and calls me Robert Kahn. You're Robert Kahn. I say no, I'm Robert Norris. Kahn is my family name. Norris is the name I use in Santa Cruz.
Mm.
You're Robert Kahn. No, I'm not. I'm Robert. We go on about this for a minute. He's kind of rude in that
you
regard.
You are who I say you are.
Yeah, I mean, we know who you are. It's a sort of I don't like the hosts or the pests, as I call them, because they are the eyes and ears of the police masquerading as some sort of hospitality crew, hence the hosts.
Well, again, and I don't want to go against you, but I thought
you
that...
You can if
I
you
thought,
want.
I
We're gonna, you're going to get it if you do.
I thought that it was a good thing that they had someone bring it down to you. Like, say you could go to Venice and get a ticket before somebody ever says to you,
right,
hey, go over to the Park and Recreation Department, mm-hmm, you know? I'm new in town. I'm trying to meet people. You know, I think it's nice that they see that I'm performing. Let me give you the heads up on.
Well, it sounds like they gave you misinformation to begin with, but maybe that's misinformation that they share with the police and they get from the police.
Well, she gave me copies of what they have supposedly
right, their arrived. Guidelines.
That one I don't have an issue with. It's the police officer now on Tuesday night that comes up to me and says, you have to stop singing when the sun goes down. Because how informed is he if I go
pull out that pamphlet and the pamphlet
says 10 p.m.? You have to stop singing at 10 p.m. between 10 p.m. and 8 p.m.
8 a.m.
And 8 a.m., excuse me, becomes the noise.
Let me interrupt with a brief, you know, witticism. As you know, there are sundown towns in the U.S. Maybe you don't.
No, I'm
sundown
not,
towns
I'm
are
sure
towns
all
where
the
if you're black,
have different rules.
You're not allowed to be on the streets after sundown. And they still exist.
What?
Yes.
Where is this at?
Go on the web and look up sundown towns. There's actually a whole... It was in Indiana and Ohio and some of these central states, not the Deep South, but the Midwest. You found these towns where, now, of course, that's been challenged more recently. And
it's
got
to be challenged.
If you're
a human being, you should
of course.
Be able to, I mean...
Well, poor people are human beings, and look how they're treated in
right.
Santa Cruz, and look how you were treated on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's all very well to talk about the ideals, but the reality, and look at how the Iraqis are being treated, or the Afghanis, or whatever you'd like.
But
in
I
any
want
case,
to say, because I'm really concerned with balance and not making anybody, this is how I live my life. I don't want to make anybody the criminal because it results in an action that comes back more heavily on you. That's not the point. Like, I can sit here and say what to me was wrong about their action and also to me what was wrong with my action that caused the conflict, because I believe that things are about miscommunication, not that any person is the bad guy in the situation. You know what I mean? Like I said, I believe that we need police officers for certain reasons. I believe they should be more informed, you know, about what the rules are and why, and who is the individual officer and who is the individual, you know, person that they're trying to detain. What are their previous issues? Is this somebody who's going to go murder somebody? Is this, you know, if they don't know, if you're going to treat somebody who's bringing basically joy to people, you know, saying hello to people on the street, and you can tell about that by the tip cup being filled up, you know what I mean? Or, you know, making people laugh. If you're not harassing people, you know, you're not really a threat. Why do you need to be treated like somebody who's about to go murder someone?
Because police have a very sensitive quality about respecting their authority. The authority is the big deal for people who use fear and force to control other people instead of reason and real dialogue and common interest. And that's how things run in most countries, not just the United States, but in most countries. That's the system of fear. That's why when you say, well, we need the police, I kind of question that.
But I call on America to be be the forefront now and say, okay, we've set up this great, you know, society where we say all men are created equal. Maybe there's something that we need to change about the way that we do things.
That's why I'm having you on the air.
Right.
But I mean, when you talk about, you know, when you're so generous with the police department suggesting, oh, gee, you know, I don't want to, let's look at what caused this misunderstanding. There's no misunderstanding. You were behaving in a way they didn't like. And because you didn't snap to it fast enough, they decided they could fuck with you. I mean, that's, again, I wasn't present. But if your account and the account of other witnesses is, as in fact, you know, is accurate, it seems to me that's what happened. And then one of the reasons they do that is they have no accountability. No one's going to say to them, you're fired. No one's even going to say to them, you're disciplined. No one's going to say to them, you're going to be tried for a criminal assault, which anybody else
well,
who did
that
to you.
Well, there are cases in history where people have fought back and said, hey.
Oh,
here's the thing, too.
For sure.
If you don't, you got to give people leeway to recognize their mistakes. To me, when I got down to the station and they said, you know, very humbly, they said to me, you know, why did you resist? I appreciated that. Because to me, then it gave me room to, after all the drama, I don't like the drama.
It also gave you the opportunity to incriminate yourself in a statement, which is one of the reasons they talked to you about it, in my view. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. Madison.
Okay, Madison, what's cooking?
Your guest, hi.
Hello.
I think you're, what do you call it, Sundown City?
Yeah, Sundown City is
that applies to women in every city after 8 o'clock anywhere in America. Mm-hmm. We're in that situation. You pretty much can't go out, or you think about not going out because you have a high percentage of being jumped or bothered. So I know I moved back to Santa Cruz because I felt it was one of the less racist places on earth.
You mean less
in, or in the
places.
American
less
arena?
Places. Less racist or less sexist?
Least racist place I've ever lived, and I've lived all over the Western United States and traveled
racist.
All over
all
the
right.
East.
Go ahead.
And I think that with Obama, that part of why Jerry Brown lost New York, if you lose New York State in the campaign, you can't win. You have to win almost every other state. And I think when he hits New York, what happened to Jerry Brown is going to happen to him.
Okay, you're wondering.
Because Jerry Brown had the whole Eastern Seaboard sewed up, just like Obama. He hit New York, and the Jewish are there, and they have an issue with the Arab culture, a lot of them, and that's
Madison,
Muslim.
Madison, you're roaming, you know, kind of generically about the
presidential
race.
No, I'm getting to the point. What happened
race.
Is he announced Jesse Jackson before he got the Jewish vote.
What's the relevance? We have a person in the studio who's about
killed
to talk
him
about.
In New York.
We're about to
Obama.
Talk. Wait a minute. We're about to
I
talk. We're about to
Obama
hold it.
Supporter.
We're about to talk about police abuse in Santa Cruz.
Well,
so let's focus on that. Let's focus
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff on Craigslist right now. In the Santa Cruz group regarding that.
There's a lot of what? I'm sorry, say that again?
On Craigslist.org, Santa Cruz, there's a lot of talk in there right now.
About?
Police happenings, grand jury involvement, people that were overbilled on the water district, all kinds
Santa
of stuff.
On Craigslist the other day.
But Craigslist is about, isn't it mostly about housing and
no,
rent?
No, they have everything on Craigslist.
Oh, okay, because I'm not much familiar with that.
But
okay,
you know what, Robert? I'm going to run for a write-in candidate for president. I have friends who lost 50 homes. I have contractor friends, generals, who don't even have they're just painting fences. And I'm going to announce on the Internet tomorrow that Madison, Daly, Kennedy, Fitzgerald, those are all my Irish names, is going to run for president.
That's fine, Madison. And I don't know if I wish you well or not because I haven't seen I haven't seen your platform. But, again,
it's open-minded,
the subject
and
of
I'm
this
on our
show, the subject of this show is, you know, a somewhat more limited one. Have you got any comments about that?
Well, I hope you write me in. And any comments about the police abuse? Well, I've experienced some here in Santa Cruz, and I know that one of the best things you can do is work with the Attorney General to try and get your complaints figured out.
I know you always propose that.
Effort.
I've never seen anything come out of that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And if you ever actually get something that comes out of that, let me know. Because, you know, a lot of people who I've talked to, literally hundreds of people who've been abused, claimed to have been abused by the police, and I think certainly a significant proportion of them have. And frankly, you know, if you actually have had positive results talking to Jerry, I was once a liberal, but now, you know, I'm the Attorney General Brown, I'd be very surprised.
What happens to that stuff is the more complaints they get, I believe, the more the action they can take.
If you ever can come up with any action they have ever taken regarding an activity in Santa Cruz, please
let
me
know.
Well,
some of what I know that happened here, I'm not privy to speak about.
Well, then if you're not privy to speak about it, we can't really talk about it, can we?
But I can tell you that it affected the crime rate. It made it a little safer for the homeless. I also got something going on Craigslist there regarding homeless. Is the Sal's Tannery is discriminating against the poor people. You have to come up with $40 for the Sal's Tannery application.
I heard that. I heard something like
and
that.
And
yeah.
You have to have perfect credit. And I sent a note to the grand jury regarding the homeless. It's like, no one has this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's discriminatory. And so the HUD, HUD is involved over there, and HUD is involved all over the country. So actually it spills over to the national scene, and I feel that the DA should pick it up and go after HUD to open the doors, because we have so many homeless
and a lot of them
are homeless because they have back credit.
Have you ever written, I agree with you, have you ever written a letter to the paper, the Santa Cruz Urinal, about this?
I've sent a lot of papers to the Sentinel, but they've discriminated against me because I was trying to stand up for my own copyright rights that were stolen by Kirby Scudder and Chipper on the
Wait, don't go into the details, but so they haven't printed your letters so far, right?
No, but I sent the U.S. Attorney, the Attorney General this week, and our DA regarding HUD's discriminatory practices.
Okay. Well, I think
and the National Endowment for the Arts
good.
Also
I think
discriminating
it's good that
against
you,
individual
it's
artists.
It's good that you raised the issue. But I'm going to roll back to Black Rose here and see
we'll
what
Craig,
actually happened on the streets.
Yeah, and
on
it's
Tuesday
great to
night.
Hear a black woman on here. Go, honey.
All right. Thanks,
you know,
Madison.
I've seen the skinheads here, and we don't want it in the community. We want it to be an open-minded place.
Thank you. Phone lines are open, 427-3772. I'm Robert. In the studio with me is Black Rose.
Yeah, I really want to focus on just people treating people like people. For me, I don't want to believe in my mind that it was a race thing. I do want to believe that it's an economics thing. I want to say that you know, people get up really early in the morning and they get out to their jobs, and then, you know, on their way to their jobs, they walk down the street and they see the people that have chosen otherwise. The people have, you know, like I said, I have nothing against
it. Or just have to do that because they haven't got any money. I mean, because they're poor. Sometimes it's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of reality.
Or, yeah, I mean, if you have a physical, you know, disability, but, you know, you can be somebody who can work in any capacity, but still chooses to enjoy your day, you
that
know what
too.
I mean? Like, yeah. I go through different phases within me. Sometimes I really want to go work and get a paycheck, and other times I just want to enjoy a new environment, meet people, sit out there and sing for you, or take my day to write poetry, you know what I mean? Like,
well, let's go back to what happened on that Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You've already mentioned that the hosts came up and gave you information that you thought was useful, but you have to be presumably 10 feet from a building, and if... They misinformed
feet,
you about
feet.
The move-along law. They said 50
feet? 50
feet
from an ATM machine.
50 feet from an ATM.
And the opening
and
of
10
it.
Feet from a building is actually what the deal is.
Okay.
But actually, you do not have to be 50 feet from an ATM machine unless you're panhandling or sitting. If you are...
I was kneeling.
Then they've misinformed you. Again, these people don't know the laws, and they act like they do. It's kind of annoying. So, but in any case, they gave you some information on what you should do, and you presumably tried to follow their rules?
Yes. I moved over, but I actually didn't stand there and count. I just put myself in a spot where I had seen them. Now, he tells me, the police officer last week counts it out for me himself, and he goes, see, you could
each
sit here.
Each of the squares is 2 feet.
Right, but he didn't say what specific square. Somebody later again came and informed me that you have to be on the 26th square as opposed to the... I was at 24 and a half this
uh-huh,
evening.
Aha, Colonel. In other words, you were 48 feet from the ATM machine. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, well, and again, as I said before, that's not illegal unless you are either sitting or panhandling. And if you're performing with a display device, that's an exception to the panhandling rule. So it's not panhandling.
Yeah, I had a bowl that's, you know, a little marble bowl and a book that said, please give, like flipped over and using the back cover. And I was standing up and then kneeling down and then standing up, which, you know what I mean? Like some of the songs are a little more lower. I don't want to be intimidating to people walking up to them, but then some of them are more raw. So I got up and, mm-hmm. you know, was kind of walking around the
that's
bowl.
That's one of the strange ironies of the panhandling law in Santa Cruz. It is illegal, although you see it being widely ignored by the police, to sit on the sidewalk and panhandle from a seated position. It's actually illegal to do that. It's not illegal to perform from a seated
that.
Position. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who panhandle, and the police don't bother them. And they don't even actually enforce that part of the law, but that is part of the actual written law, because that's called public property. You're seated on public property. That's illegal to ask for anything of value at any time of the day or night. So it's obviously unconstitutional, but, you know, hey.
Well, it bothers me if it's public property. Aren't I a part of the public?
you're an undesirable part of the public in the minds of some people.
I understand that.
So the point is that you're given a lot of misinformation to begin with, and really what they're saying is do what we say, when we say it, when we snap our
fingers. Let us use you as an example is what I felt.
That too.
Because once you say anything going the other way.
Once you resist, they want to show you that they can quell your resistance. That's
right, and I just so fully want to show the people around as well that, listen, we're still human beings, you know what I mean? You talk to me and let me keep my dignity, you know what I mean? And I will work with you, you know what I mean? Because I can see how things can get out of hand. You know what I mean? In terms of, like...
You're much too generous, but
Well, that's just me, you know what I mean? I'm trying to see...
No,
that there are both sides of the coin, you know what I mean?
When you talk about Jews being murdered in Germany, there's not both sides of the coin. Sorry. When you talk about...
We're not talking about that.
We're talking about repressive police behavior in different societies.
And also knowing that there needs to be a police force as well. That's what I said. I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor that
police forces investigating crimes like murder and rape.
Yes,
have some point, but they have no point in what they're doing with respect to you, and therefore I have to disagree with you.
But what I'm asking you is, how do they find out who is? How does the police force find out who's in their community? How do they find out who's in their community if they don't go up and do things like ask, did you know,
how you proceed to investigate a murder or a rape.
But we're not talking about murder or rape. We're talking about just knowing who's in the community. Well, because there's a lot of people that are murderers and rapists and haven't been discovered that that's what they're doing yet.
It doesn't matter, though.
So how do you find out?
I can't agree with you that we should allow the police to somehow investigate people in the community on the suspicion that they might be criminals. I don't agree.
Being able to, I'm just talking about general talking. I want to know who's around me. I would love to know. I would love to be able to go up to police officers and go, you know, where did you go to school at?
There's a difference between you and a police officer.
I understand. A police officer
is gathering evidence of a crime. You are simply trying to be a human being. Police officer, for example, who comes out of his uniform and is a civilian and talks to you as a human being is much different than a police officer in uniform.
But there's police officers that come in civilian and they still are brutal with you. You know what I mean?
Well, that's because they're acting as police officers. Hi there. You're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert.
Yes.
Yeah, listen to you guys talking about the cops.
Well, I'm doing a lot of interrupting, and I apologize, Black.
No,
Black Rose has got a story to tell, and hopefully I'll let her.
No, I could totally understand her point of view about how. I mean, it works in your favor too. As much as you think that the cops, you know, are trying to find out more information about you, which they are, I'm sure. They're thinking about it.
I've been through that in a lot of different societies, a lot of different towns that I've lived in. I've lived in 10 different states. You know, who's this new person? Who's this new person that's getting attention? Who's this new person that's getting money? Who the
hell
is this person?
You get to know them.
Like, yeah. And
who they are, what they're about, you know.
Right. And why, and do they have warrants? I would want to know who was around me. And if the society was like that, what were their charges? If your charges are simple medical marijuana or, you know, you forgot to pay a probation, you know, your court-appointed lawyer fee, things like that. You know,
see, all
that's okay, but if this is somebody
screen.
Who's been accused time and time again of violent behavior, I want to know who I'm standing next to on the corner.
Right. And it's good to talk
and
to
who
them.
Who knows
but
that
it's
better
also,
than the police because they have all that stuff on file.
But you also have to kind of defend yourself because everything you say to them could be used you in a court of law.
Yeah, and
like
again,
if you told a cop I stole the bike the other day, what's he going to do if he arrests you? You know, you don't want to tell him that.
But I'm not talking about people who are even stealing bikes. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm somebody who has court charges now for getting tickets for being homeless,
you know,
and for not paying court-appointed fees.
You're
giving me warrants from other states for.
Is that why they arrested you?
Yes, they arrested me
for a warrant.
He originally came up to me and told me it was because I was singing past sunset. Which the ordinance doesn't even say.
And then he
made it aware to me that he wasn't aware of what he was going to do because it came up that I had warrants in Santa Monica. I told him, I don't even remember being arrested in Santa Monica. I remember being arrested in Venice, like 4 times for sleeping on the beach.
Right.
So you're giving me a ticket right now, not because I'm singing after sunset, because that's not in the ordinance, and not even because I'm doing anything wrong here, except that I have fees and paper tickets from another town that I could not pay also for being homeless. You know what I mean? You're just piling more and more tickets on top of me. And I'm already in a situation where I can't pay it. You know what I mean? I'm already in a whole nother state. I don't have the money to get back to. Then they gave me a court date for down there. I don't have the money to get back down there, get back up here. You know, it's like that part of it is what's unfair because I'm already homeless because $500. You have to pay $500 down to get a cell phone if you have bad credit. You can't get into an apartment without this deposit because you have this credit. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But this credit is.
So what happened was they hauled you to jail on this warrant, right?
Right.
Is that what happened, or was it because you were disturbing the peace, or was there any other
charges? No, it was...
The charge was resisting
the charge arrest. Ended up being resisting arrest.
Because why? He wanted to cite you out on the warrant, or did he want to cite you out on the warrant?
We want to take you in, and I'm going to myself, you know, I had a police officer last week, you know, remind me that I had a warrant somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And I need to handle that. So you never know what they're going to do.
Well,
how can one police officer? What's protocol?
Hang on, you guys. First
actually,
of all, you know,
how can one police officer say to you?
Macros, just a moment. What I want to do is what I should have done at the very beginning of this is actually give your blow-by-blow account of actually what
that'd
happened
be good.
In
yeah.
your interaction with the police, and then Bob, you can ask questions. You have a better understanding,
mm-hmm.
and then you can go into some of the background explanation of what
okay.
this and that. But let's hear the events that happened.
That'd be good.
Okay.
Now, do you want to be on the phone while this is happening?
No, I'll call back in.
Okay.
Because I've been arrested for the same thing, hanging on the street here in Santa Cruz, and I know almost all the fucking cops.
So all you criminals are kind of packing together tonight, is what you're saying. Sorry about that, Bob. I cut you off there. Anyway, so before you begin your account, again, our hello to the people who are calling in. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert, it's Madison.
Madison, you're going to have to wait. We want Black Rose to be able to give her a count. That's what we're waiting for.
I have an idea for Black Rose. I have something in my platform.
Come see me on the street, Madison.
It's called CRB.
Give it to her. Hold it. No. Give it to her after she's given her account. Call in and give that. Give it then.
The credit roll.
Oh, sorry.
I want to hear it, Madison, but I want to hear this account. We're 15 minutes into the show, and Black Rose has not yet told us, and we've been referring to it a lot, what happened. So,
okay.
So give us an account of what happened Tuesday night when you were singing at sunset. Ba-ba.
Okay, so it was about after eight. I had been out there, I think, for like 2 hours. I get up and I stop and I smoke sometimes, so it's not like I'm going the whole way through. I just take it at my pace.
Smoking? Were you at least 20 feet from a doorway?
Yeah, I was away from the doors. Yeah. I try to, you know, if
and
kids
were you
are
violating
coming,
any other ordinances? Had you been told to move along?
No, I hadn't been told to move along.
And you were
and
at least,
I
you
actually
were
chose
from,
this spot. Yeah, I chose this spot because
APM. Okay.
I had been.
Were
I
you
made
10
it there.
Feet from a crosswalk?
10 feet from a crosswalk. I was on the corner.
But you weren't accused of any of that problem.
No.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the gentleman, the short police officer, comes up to me, and, you know, he's got his arms crossed, and he goes, literally took that long with the, how am I going to say this to you? Do you know that you are, you can't sing after sunset? And so I go, oh, okay, officer, you know, a little strange to me, and I start to pack up my stuff, but I'm thinking, I read the ordinance, that paper that lady gave me last week, and I said, oh, man, doesn't it say like 8 p.m.? I went the next day and found out that it was 10 p.m., but it said, I said to him, you know, I don't think I have to stop singing to 8 when, if it was a little bit after 8, then I still was in the wrong, but I said, okay, but, you know, I hadn't been stopped for this before. I'm talking late at night, you know, police officers walking by, so I'm thinking, oh, he's just being a little, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulders about something, whatever. I'll follow, you know what I mean? So I start packing up my stuff, and he goes, what's your name? And again, I'm still thinking this is procedure, so I had given him my name last week, and he wrote it on his hand.
The same officer,
yeah, with my date of birth, wrote it on his hands with a whole bunch of different people. I didn't care, because I know I'm not doing anything wrong, so, you know. I understand already that I have a file, so at this point in my life, it's like, here's who I am, here's what I do, tell me if you can find something wrong with it. You know what I mean?
In my mind, it's not good practice to give information to the police for the purpose of giving them information about you when you're engaging in innocent behavior. I mean, just isn't.
In my mind, we haven't found enough ways to knock down the wall that is between what is called the law and what is called people and just make each other people. And to me, like I said, because I want
to
know who I'm standing on the street. Listen, I have my opinion on this, so you have to let me have that. We have to find ways. It's okay to disagree, but you know, agree to be disagreeable, because this system works for me. I want to find a way to look them in the eye and go, yeah, here's what I am, what I do, and I'm not afraid of you. And who are you? I think we should be able to ask, who are they as well? You know what I mean? So I'm not just...
Let's get on with the actual account, okay. Because we disagree
so,
on that one.
Right, okay. So he comes up to me, and I tell him who I am, and he goes, you got your ID? And here's where I go, oh, boy, you know what I mean? Now he's not just asking my name and my birthday, but now he wants to hold my ID. So he takes my ID, and I'm still talking to the people that are going by, bummed cigarette.
Point of information, you're not required to give your ID in this country, okay?
Well, I'll know that for next time. Again, I'm just going along with it just so he can tell me whatever he needs to tell me and I can get on with
my
evening.
I'm saying this not for your benefit, but mostly for others. I mean, if he's writing you a citation, it's wise to give your ID if he thinks you're concealing something. But generally, this is America. You're not supposed to have to even say who you are to a police officer. I mean, you know, unless he's investigating a crime that involves you and there's reasonable suspicion you're involved. And even then, you know, you can use the Fifth Amendment. You can say, I'm not interested in talking on
this. He totally strikes me as a rookie. I don't know why, anyway.
And you think
so.
This may have been Officer Winston, but you're not sure.
I don't know. Like I said, on my arresting ticket, it says Darby. I believe it says Darby on the pink ticket.
Since about 8 police officers were ultimately involved, you were telling me you don't know which one.
Two physically with me.
Right.
But I was informed that they called like 6 squad cars.
So let's go back.
Okay.
The officer says to
you. So he says, do you have your ID?
ID?
So I give him the ID, and he's looking it over, and he's just, you know, I'm kind of trying to just get through it. So I'm looking around, and I'm still kneeling there, and I'm already upset that he's telling me that I can't touch my stuff. So I'm, you know, kind of moving my stuff a little bit still, because I'm thinking, okay, at this point, if there's something that's following me from Venice, he either is going to write me a ticket, give me a warning. Three things can happen. He can write me a ticket, he can give me a warning, or he can take me in. So now when that pops into my mind that could happen, after he asked to hold my ID, he clips it under his little pin on his breast. I'm going, oh, boy. So I said, you know, he goes, okay, you know, it comes up that you have a warrant in Santa Monica. And I go, Santa Monica? I said, I don't remember being. I slept in Santa Monica probably like 3 weeks because of all the issues that were happening in Venice. You know, we moved right over the borderline. I go, I don't remember ever getting arrested in Santa Monica. I do remember getting tickets in Venice. Got arrested like 4 times for sleeping on the beach out there, you know, like just little things that I was doing wrong out there, you know what I mean? But also was just trying to stay close to the beach. The beach made me peaceful, blah, blah, blah. I'm running on. So he clips my ID underneath his lapel there, whatever. And then I go, you know, well, if I have something in Santa Monica and I know that it's down there, is there any way that I can get that case transferred up to here? Because I'm trying to settle myself in Santa Cruz now. Is there a way that I can get the judge up here to speak to me about those things since they are sleeping on the beach? Tickets that you normally when you go to court for, you end up getting thrown out anyway. You know, I've had judges just go, oh, this, you know. So already you've wasted my time and my money by getting me have to go speak to a judge about something as minor as this, you know? So can we at least move it to Santa Cruz because here's where I am now.
You're giving this officer a lot of shit, girl.
So, well, he goes, yeah, and he starts to be helpful to me. He goes, let me see, let me check in on that. Let me see what I can, you know, find out about that. So he does his little radio thing to somebody, and somebody who looked like a Hispanic or a Mexican officer. I wasn't sure. I just glanced at him, you know what I mean? I try not to make eye contact because I don't want them to feel like I'm going like, who do you think you are talking to me? You know what I mean? Like, this is me. Okay? So he comes over to the side.
It's not just you. It's not just you. It's anyone who attempts to deal with someone in authority with a badge and a gun doesn't want to antagonize them. That's the concern. Go ahead.
Okay, but that's not why for me. It's not about the gun. It's about, you know, I understand that you got to try to keep things to a bit of minimum control. You know, I'm not all about complete, all out, rah, you know, let's kill them because then we'll be just like them, you know.
It's not a matter of killing people. It's a matter of demanding your rights and be treated with dignity and like a human being.
This I agree with. Okay, so and treating others with dignity. An officer comes up to the left of me, and the officer that's in front of me holding my ID looks to him and he goes, "Oh, so what are we going to do about the Santa Monica thing?" And I'm going, he doesn't know. If he has to ask another officer right next to me, you know, they're deciding right now as we speak about what they're going to do instead of it being some sort of protocol. So he had my ID now at this point, like on top of a ticket thing. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get a ticket. They've agreed. Next thing I know, out of nowhere, after thinking in that moment that I was about to get a ticket. This one to the left, the Hispanic officer, who I think has probably been on the force longer because he was asking him, gives a nod, and the guy starts to come towards me. And I go, wait a minute, I was just asking you about what to do to get the ticket written up here, and you said, okay, I'll find out about that for you. So I'm thinking this can happen, you know what I mean? And on top of that, with the other officer saying to me, you got a warrant, you know what I mean? You got to get it handled. And
let me interrupt you for a moment here. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is this. These shows are archived.
Mm-hmm.
Police officers have access to these shows.
Okay.
So if you, for example, acknowledge that you are resisting arrest, that makes their case for them. So I don't know. I wasn't present. I heard different accounts about what happened. I'm acting as though I were your attorney, which I'm not. And I'm not an attorney.
It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I'm going to tell
the
truth.
Okay. Well, and as a journalist, I would, you know, I appreciate you telling the truth. As a person who wants to see you, you know, not lose a case, I also want to give you some, you know, encouragement to, you know, I think it's good when you tell the community what happens. That is a very important service to the community. And also, of course, you're being straight with your own conscience. However, it's also true that you're in the middle of a crooked, corrupt, and class-biased legal system. And you know that probably from just your own experience. That is, poor people don't get a fair shake usually in this legal system. And so, understanding that, I want you to go ahead and say whatever you'd like to say. But be aware that if you say, for example, I twisted away from the officer and I resisted, that means that's an admission that they can pull up in court and say, okay, you've admitted it already. You've admitted the crime. That's up to, I believe, resisting arrest is 6 months in jail or a $1,000 fine maximum.
People have me on tape saying that I'm not resisting. This is not about me resisting.
Right,
I'm
but
not.
if you say here on the air that you
I
that
don't
you may,
matter. I'm not afraid of
okay.
what, right. what the situation
just
was.
Just want to give you the caveat.
I'm fine with that. And,
I also spoke
to the police okay. officers when I went to jail that evening. You know what I mean? I did give them my statement because here is what happened. For me, like I said, treat me like a human being, and that means tell me right up front, This is what's going to happen with you. Don't make me think it can go this way, it could go this way, it could go this way, and then, you know, because then you're pulling a shock move on me, you know what I mean? Which, who would take that, you know, for me to be treated like a dignified person, and the fact that even though I might have made some mistakes or something, I'm still...
Let's go back to what actually happened, and then
okay,
we can go
through
the next.
So that is when he starts coming up to me and
so
going...
The small officer who first approached you then begins to advance on you?
Then he starts to advance on me, right,
okay.
and to
Did you say anything?
To take my hands, he goes, you got to come in with us.
Okay.
And I'm going, why? I'm asking why. Asking why at this point. Like, that's when I start to verbalize that... Listen, I know what's going to happen. I've been through this before. You're about to take me down to jail, and I'm going to get another charge for being homeless. I can't get to that ticket right now. I can't pay those tickets right now. I can't get to that court right now. So all you're doing is essentially piling another bill on top of me. So please, just let me get it transferred up here and get it handled.
And his response was?
Still just going, no, you're under arrest, and grabbing at my hands.
Did you say what you were under arrest for?
For the warrants.
For the warrants, okay.
Okay. So he's grabbing at my hands, and I'm stiffening my hands going, let me pick up my things. Let me pick up my things like I was doing when I was thinking that you were going to arrest me before. You know what I mean? Because now here I have money in the bowl. I don't know what I've made. I have been in situations before where I've been arrested and not gotten what I distinctly remember
You're
having in my wallet.
Suggesting the police force is less than honest? What kind of
a
woman
I'm suggesting that's in humans.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Again, I like to stop drawing the line. Stop going it's us against them because that'll never get anywhere. That's only more war. You know what I mean?
We'll agree to disagree.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I'm going, listen, let me pick up my things. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, escort me away. You know, not saying, oh, here's an example of what it's like to be a street person, which is what it ended up being. But instead, like, listen, there's a situation that we haven't resolved yet, and we need to bring you down here to talk to you about it.
So you wanted to pick up your stuff, so then what happened?
So then he's going, no, we'll get it. We'll get it. And I go, you know, I don't care. You're another human being. You could steal just like anybody else, you know what I'm saying, even if you have a suit on. I'm thinking to myself, I want to count what's in that bowl. I want to know what's in my wallet, is what my ultimate thought was. Let me pick up my things, you know.
At this point, there are only two officers present?
The second officer was not even touching me at the point. I had a little struggle with the first one. And then when it got to the point where they're touching my body and not listening to me, that's when I get stiff. I just get, like, I grew up in an abusive household. I grew up watching my mother get beat up. I get, like, you don't put your hands on somebody else. I don't care if you're the law. And especially if they're, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't yelling at all. I was just saying, listen, why? Please, you know what I mean? Like, hold on. You know what I mean? Even just give me a minute to fathom all this. You know what I mean? And it's just like a pouncing on, it's like a pouncing on an animal. You know what I mean? And that freaks a person out. This is what happened for me. You know what I mean? So I stiffen. Because I know that you're not hearing me now. I'm saying, please explain to me what's going on, why I'm going to get another ticket for being homeless, why I have to go inside again for this, which I already know is going to get me another arrest. This is an arrest. I'm getting an arrest now. You approached me about singing, but now I'm getting an arrest for something that I've already been arrested for, you know, 3-4 other times in another place. You know what I'm saying? You're just charging it on me, on me, on me, on me until I get to your court and appear and don't have the money, and you know what I mean? You're just summoning me back to this place over and over and over again, which makes me feel like an animal.
It's all routine, ma'am. It's just routine. It's just routine procedure, ma'am.
Well, routine procedure should be telling you, listen, make sure you get down there. Make sure you get down there. Do you have the money to get down there? No, I haven't gotten the job yet, officer. I'll get down there when
so
I can.
So here were the two officers. There were you. You were stiffening because the officer...
Now had already put his hands on you.
Put his hands on you. You wanted the opportunity to count your money. You weren't being given that
after
opportunity.
After making... I went through three phases. I went through the phase of thinking this is about singing to finding out that they are still have the warrant thing about me, to thinking I'm going to get another ticket for having the warrants and not checking up on the warrants, to now being touched, you know.
And so then what happened?
So I turn around, I stuck my hands in the trash can, and I held on to the trash can, still going, please let me pick up my things. Please let me pick up my own things. Let me see what I have there, you know what I mean? And I'm going, that's what I want to do.
We're not
going
to let this small pipsqueak woman hold on to the trash can. We're the big tough cops.
Exactly.
We're going to make sure this bitch comes along with us.
So that's when it got like, then the second officer came. And when the second officer came, I got even more tight with myself.
This is the officer the two officers you're talking
this
about.
This is the Mexican or Hispanic officer that was called in. Kind of just standing there like I'm the guard of the situation.
But the one who seemed to initiate this arrest by nodding...
Was already holding me on one hand.
But he seemed to initiate the arrest initially, previously, by nodding to the first officer. Okay, so...
The second officer nods, yes.
So then
yes.
What happened?
So then he comes over to get my hands out of the trash can, and I'm going, no, you know what I mean? You're going to listen to me. At least you're going to hear me. I'm going to be heard. Because you've got your side in this. You get to stand there with your, you know, your suit on. And make an example of me. I'm going to show too that there's something wrong about the way that you are approaching me with this.
Mm-hmm.
So, one's on one hand, and he can't get that hand off. The bigger Hispanic or Mexican officer got my hand out of the.
Did he tickle you?
No, I got. You see these bruises?
You are showing me on your on your both. Well,
no,
on your left.
At that point, I wasn't hurt yet.
A bruise.
At that point, I wasn't hurt yet. So he pulls my arm around and puts it. They put it in the cuffs, and I'm still going. Now I'm embarrassed. So and I'm still going. Please, just let me pick up my stuff. Like this is, you know, this is crazy to be treated like this. You know what I'm saying? To be, you know, now I'm have to stick my hands in a freaking trash can to even be able to pick up my own things and come along with you peaceably, get it handled. You know, whatever. So, they put my hands in the handcuff, and now at this point, because you needed to. To get to this point, I'm out there now. So he puts my hand in the handcuff. I pull my hand out of the handcuff. I have
Houdini method, yes.
So I'm laughing, but it was no laughing matter on that night because I know that it was pure adrenaline that was making me go through these motions now at this point, you know. So I pull my hands out and they come jump on me again.
The same two officers,
and now they take me down. Mm-hmm. At this point, they took me down because I'm sure they're like, we just had the handcuffs on her. Like, how'd you get them out? So they take me down, and I'm going. I'm not going back.
What do you mean they take you down? What exactly did they do?
I don't remember even. It was such
were
a...
You on your
I'm
stomach,
telling you,
on
when
your
I
back?
Get to that point, it's I don't know. Okay. No, I'm on my side. The next thing I remember, I'm on my side, and I won't let them put my hands back in the handcuff. Uh-huh. So I got them stiff, just like this.
And are you saying anything while this is happening? Or are they saying anything?
I'm going,
anything?
Why are you doing this to me? I'm homeless. These tickets are for being homeless. Please, I want to pick up my own things. I will come with you peaceably. But please, you know what I mean? Like, this is all unnecessary. That's the point that I'm at now.
And is anybody else saying, is there a crowd around?
I hear a crowd now. and I'm watching things happening, and
all this is happening close to borders, far away from borders, near the street.
This is probably about 8 feet from borders.
So it's nearer borders than the street.
We're closer now. We're closer now.
Okay.
Because actually now another police officer has walked up and actually counted out that I wasn't in the right square for singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, later on, like...
He's wrong, because it's not, the law doesn't apply to singing, but go ahead.
Well, the thing is, now I'm being arrested for seeming like I'm resisting when I'm going, it all happened so fast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, the little one, I believe, is the one that had his knee on my neck. And all I'm doing is laying there stiff. I won't let them put the handcuffs in my hand, but I'm clearly verbalizing, that I want to pick up my own things and I don't deserve to be treated like this. And I hear people going, she's a woman. Don't treat her like that. I think I even heard somebody else say, that's a whore. That's a whore on the ground. I heard so many things.
Opinions,
yeah, like, right. And then I see my my better half out on the corner of my eye, and I had had a seizure.
That's
like,
your partner?
Yeah, my partner, Dreamcatcher.
Your fiancé or whatever?
Yeah. I saw him out of the corner of my eye, and he's going, Rebecca, calm down. You're going to have a seizure. Because at this point, I'm just going, it's happening that I'm having...
a condition of some kind? Epileptic condition?
Yeah, I'm not epileptic. Epileptic. Excuse me. I guess when I get dehydrated and not enough food, and I walk everywhere.
You had seizures before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So I try to calm down, but at the same time, I'm freaking out because all these people are watching this happening, and I start going help, you know, because at this point I was hurting. I felt this hand dragged against
the
ground.
And you're actually, let me take a look at your hand. I'm looking at your right hand, and your
pinky.
You have a,
yeah. Oh,
sorry.
No, it's okay.
It looks like your little finger is actually...
It's missing about half an inch of skin.
And there's a...
And a gouge.
There's a gouge that's right below the second joint. Yeah, so you should probably get a picture of that taken.
They took pictures of it, and
no,
I don't.
No.
I'm not fighting. You understand?
You
like
have to understand,
I'm not.
It's not. For
I understand
you
what
alone.
You.
It's not for you alone. That
I say that
yeah,
you all
okay.
can go out. I wouldn't be a part of the. It's not my nature unless you put your hands physically on me, which is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
To be, I'm not taking sides. I don't like taking sides because that's what everyone is doing, and that's why the world is at war.
We'll discuss that later. Continue, however, with the.
Okay,
there's a disagreement here.
Yeah, it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, I want...
You're wrong, but we'll proceed anyway.
I can't be wrong about my own opinion.
Oh, how do you know? I'm always right. You know that.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm always right in my mind. So.
Anyway, so we're talking with Black Rose here. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM. This is a second-by-second argumentative account of an incident that happened Tuesday night at Soquel and Pacific around 8 o'clock in the evening where... Black Rose here was singing and approached by an officer. We're not sure who, although I think he passed us last night on the street.
Yes, he did.
You identified him, so maybe we can actually find out who the officer was. And again, you have reached the point where you were initially accused of singing after sunset, which isn't illegal, but the officer thought it was. And then you were accused of having a warrant, which probably is true. You wanted to, you know, to get some...
So now I'm on the ground with a knee in my neck and another one holding my arm out. And as you could see, the bruises on the top of the shoulder here and here.
Okay, I see bruises on your left arm, upper arm. Mm-hmm. Looks like discoloration of your skin.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now they're trying to grab this arm and get it close to this arm so they can handcuff me. They end up taking two pairs of handcuffs and just handcuffing the handcuffs to the handcuffs.
I see.
So I'm...
So you have...
But
you
they
have
did this one super tight.
Definitely have a future as an escape artist. Go ahead.
I was always thinking that.
Yeah.
So now they're walking me over to the car, and I'm crying, and I'm embarrassed, and I get in the car, and they're pushing me into the car, and I'm going, I got it! Like, I don't even need you to help me put me in the car like that. You know what I mean? In that way, I can bend my
How
own head over.
How many police are there by this time?
I didn't see all that. I'm telling you, like,
You're
I'm,
not sure.
I'm so okay. emotionally fraught at this time
right.
that I'm just going,
I gotcha.
Did I just go through that? Like, did I seriously just go through that over a sleeping ticket, you know? Because I've had other warrants before and nobody come to say to me in such an aggressive manner, like, you've got to handle this. You know what I mean? Like, it's now, to me, about money. Because I had no money in my pocket that day and I end up doing, I don't know, a little bit of singing and getting what I needed to exist through another day. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I don't think that... I do think there are definitely officers that don't like that you can exist like that.
Freeloader. Or
nigger, all resistor, those things.
Hey, watch your tongue. This is a family radio station. Bitch. Fuckhead.
See what? Yeah.
Sorry, we're getting a little adolescent here. So you were put in the car, and how were you treated from that point on?
Okay. Now from there, I'm just crying the whole way to the station. And when I got to the station, they come to the back and they look at me and I'm still sobbing. And at this point, I had decided in my mind, I'm not talking to these. These can't be people anymore.
A wise choice. Which you then apparently went back on, Mrs. I'm giving a statement to the coppers. Go ahead.
So I was crying and I'm looking down and I'm just thinking, pity, pity, pity that it has to get to this point. I can't talk to these people if they can't hear me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I go, you now have raped me of some of my dignity, so in front of how many people, you know what I mean, and got them all riled up out there. Who knows what's going to happen in the street tonight?
You're up at a woman. You're up at a woman, girl. You're up at a Negro.
You high yellow.
Yeah, you high yellow. What do you think you're doing? We're police. You respect us. You do what we say.
So, but then, you know, behind closed doors, when they don't have to make an example of me, then they get very kind. And they're like, well, I have to read you the rights. And the guy who's reading me the rights is stammering over them and reading them off of a piece of paper.
They actually don't have to read you
the
rights.
I've never been read my rights before ever in my life, and I've been arrested quite a many
times.
The
reason they read you your rights because they wanted to get a statement from you so that they wouldn't have to bother to get the evidence to take you to court so that you would provide the evidence. Go ahead.
Again, do what you have to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make war.
Not war.
So
it's self-defense. There's a difference between war and self-defense. But go ahead.
I mean, but why would you need self-defense if you were just, you know, telling me that I had a warrant? Why would you need
because
evidence?
They're not
because now you know that you've touched me the wrong way.
They're not,
period.
They're not rational.
Period.
They do.
If you need a statement, it's because you're afraid of what your actions were. That's why you have to get something on record. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm going to the police officer. So tell me what you said right then. Tell me what you said right then. Tell me what you did right then. I don't need defense because I'm not in offense.
But you do need defense.
No, I don't.
Because you are in a system which will find you guilty. That's the problem.
Find me guilty. I don't care if the system finds me guilty because the fact of the matter is either you're guilty or you're not. You know what I mean?
I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
But when you're found guilty, they can do little things like take away your property, put you in jail.
They've done all that already to me.
Take away your children.
There's nothing that they can take to me.
Livelihood.
There's nothing they can take away from me
saying,
right now.
And I commend you for standing up for your dignity in the face of all that.
There's nothing they can take from me at this point except they can put me in jail, and they'll be putting me in jail for the most stupidest thing. You know what I mean? And that will be more evidence against them about the fact that they just don't like somebody questioning even their motives, which is wrong because then they're not looking at themselves as human beings. They're looking at themselves as superiors, which is wrong because you're a human being, whether you wear a uniform or not, just like I am.
We'll call you Saint Black Rose. Go ahead.
I'm not a saint. Come on. They'll never make a saint of me.
So. Right, so there you were. You went to the jail. Then you went to the police station. And how many police officers questioned you?
There was one standing by the door, and when I refused to speak, they wouldn't let me out of the car. They were just like, he was just like, okay, you're not going to talk to me? You're not going to say anything? All right, fine, you're not going to say anything? Like, I just want to know if you understand these rights or whatever, whatever. And he goes, do you have anything to say? And I said, yeah, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then he walked away from the car. They left me sitting there for like another 5 minutes, and he comes back over and he goes, I'm going to read you these rights again. He read me the rights again. He goes, do you understand? And I go, yeah, fine, I understand. You know,
they're trying to coax you into
making. I don't care. I wanted to get out of the car.
you would have gotten out of the car anyway, even if you'd not made a statement.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, but I was ready.
And I say this not to criticize
you. Okay,
but,
for people, yeah, for the knowledge. So, I hope you guys are learning, because if there is anything wrong I did about the way that I handled myself.
You're so wrong.
So they sit me down, and at this point, everyone's really fine. They're going through my stuff, and they're, you know, like, itemizing what's in my purse and what's in my bag.
Marijuana. Ooh.
They found some marijuana, and they actually said, well, we're going to dispose of this. We're not going to charge you for this. And I'm thinking, oh, great.
Did they ask you if you were a medical marijuana patient?
I wish you would. Yes, they did.
And your response was?
I said, I don't know. And it was the truth of the matter. I didn't, you know, I don't know if I need marijuana. If it makes me feel better, that's for sure.
You're a patient if you have a recommendation.
Am I legal? If I am a legal one, no. Yeah. But yes, do I use it for medication? Yes.
So you're a fucking hophead as well, eh? Go ahead.
Let's see now. Then they go through everything, and they ask me if I have anything on me sharp. And I go, yeah, I think I have a jackknife in my back pocket. you know, I live outside. I use it for different various things. And they check my back, and I start checking my back pocket, and they get all freaked out. Like, don't touch yourself, you know what I mean? We'll look for it. And I go, it's not there. Maybe it fell out.
Perhaps prefer to touch you themselves. Did you, by the way, were you searched by a female officer?
Female officer,
you
yeah.
Were. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sergeant Butchie Baker obviously was not in the area, unfortunately. Or fortunately for you, perhaps. Sorry, Sergeant, that was a low blow, but it's understandable.
Even the young lady that searched me, you know what I mean? I felt
and you were held for 2 hours.
Roughly, yeah.
You were allowed a phone call during that time?
They put me in a cell with a free phone.
And how were the other folks in the cell?
There was only one other woman that got put in probably about a half an hour after
her
I got in.
Her crime was?
We didn't talk. We didn't talk because she started to tell me that she was, you know, like, they busted her, like, I think with crystal meth.
Okay.
So I was just kind of going.
Well, that means she's an evil person. We know that. Anybody who uses crystal meth has to be a.
No.
Yeah.
No, you know.
No, of course. I mean, I think the whole drug war is the most stupid shit.
I think it's silly, too, but I would like the force to watch who it affects differently because I said some people flip out on some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
but
I mean?
Some
people do it just for fun and kicks,
those are
and some
crimes.
People. Yeah.
Crimes that, you know, when you do that. That's
after you flip, after you've
and
used
you don't
it.
Get, you don't get right. them for crystal meth use. You get them for whatever they do.
For what the thing is you're doing, right.
Anyway, we're talking with Black Rose, who's given this. Finally, we've got this account. The two of us, of course, are both been tussling about how to deal with the police, what the significance is of this and that. And about an incident that happened Tuesday night. On the street. Anybody wants to call in and comment on this, ask questions of Black Rose, denounce anybody here, or give some suggestions, 427-3772 is a call-in number, 427-FRSC, Free Radio, Santa Cruz. And while we're waiting for this torrent of calls, I think maybe time to take a brief musical break. Since I don't want you to have to supply the music, I'll put on some cheesy. Actually, it's not cheesy, but it is pre-recorded music from Peggy Seeger. Let's hear, how about Che Guevara? That sounds pretty au courant. This is a lot slower than the version that came out 30 years before, and frankly, I prefer that version. So we're going to leave this version of Che Guevara where it belongs. It's a little too draggy for my taste. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris, and that's Peggy Seeger you were listening to. In the studio, soon to be back, she's taking a break, is Black Rose, also known as Rebecca. And I'm trying to kind of get a jump on things because we did take an hour and a half for the first part of the show nearly. I'm going to play a few street interviews to kind of break up the evening. Folks are probably interested in the drum circle report, and the brief drum circle report from the farmer's market yesterday is was kind of a repeat of what happened the week before on October 8th. That is to say, city employees put up green mesh fences around three areas used by drummers and the public to socialize on this Wednesday afternoon, or have for the last 15 years or so. And drummers and others tore down the central fence and part of one of the side fences and used those two areas to socialize, leaving the third still fenced. Joe Schultz served food. Dancing and general merriment and drumming happened. There were no arrests or police presence that was visible during the time I was there, which wasn't very long. I didn't stay for very long, but I did stay for a few interviews, and you'll be able to hear some of those interviews. And again, it was another case of people being forced to commit what seemed to be acts of either vandalism or criminality in order to restore public assembly space stolen by Mayor Coonerty's 15-minute trespass law, and in collusion with the staff of the police department and the city, probably Public Works or Parks and Rec, whoever puts up those mesh fences. And I say this because it's not like there's some standard law in place that's regularly enforced and people know about and agree to or don't like but understand. It's a law that was created by Mayor Coonerty as a special interest law to pander to certain city employees and employees of his businesses. The 15-minute, what I call the parking lot panic law, which makes it illegal to walk into a parking lot and talk or linger or socialize in any of the 10 parking lots and garages in Santa Cruz, including the drum circle, yeah, and Black Rose back in the studio here with us. And this law was, you know, they tried to enforce this law back in January against the drum circle, and people just refused to leave. And rather than give out 30 or 40 tickets, because they didn't want to do that, they backed off for about 8 months. Now they did it again in August. They came forward, I think it was early September. They did it actually for several weeks. They did what Sergeant Harms called an educational campaign. That's what I like to call kind of low-grade terrorism by the police department. The attempt to scare you into abandoning your civil rights under color of their ordinances, which I regard as a form of criminal behavior by the city government and the police department. And it's very serious when the police department does this. Somebody may sleep on the beach in Santa Monica, and that may be like, technically a crime.
They took over $3,000 worth of my art, too. That is criminal to me.
That's what happened to you on the Tuesday
in
arrest.
Venice. No.
I mean, you may be cited or arrested for this absurd so-called crime of sleeping on the beach, which, as we know, in Los Angeles has been thrown out in the Jones decision, where there's been a ruling that you can't enforce that law because it's cruel and unusual punishment. If you can't give a person a legal place to sleep, you cannot tell them you cannot sleep at night. You just can't do that. That's a violation of a basic constitutional right.
But they have posted signs there as well.
Doesn't matter.
Right?
They can post
really?
A sign, you're not allowed to be black, you're not allowed to to be Jewish. That's nice. But they can say whatever signs they want. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
So, Robert, what am I?
Madison,
for
you're back. It's
everybody?
Call number three. Good to see you.
Madison's
yes, you can, I mean, good to
number
hear
one
you.
Fan.
So you are, yes, you are. You had a comment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So she has an issue with her credit, and so does everybody else, and so
right.
do the banks. So I came up with this thing. It's called the credit rollback, CRB. It's like resetting your horses.
Uh-huh.
Well, the horses are going everywhere, and they're all wrong, right?
Right.
So you have to reset them and put them in the gates and let them go.
Right.
So everyone starts. So what we do is we just have everyone send a letter to Bush and say, hey, Madison's running for pres soon, probably. She's going to decide this week. But
it's all
you
about
want,
you.
No, I'm serious.
Madison.
I want everyone to
you
tell their friends Madison Fitzgerald is going to be the president because she's really simple and she gets it and she needs to
You know,
to
Madison, it is true that I think I'm reading this when I read about the economic crisis in this country.
Yeah.
I read a number of economists saying that historically the only way capitalism has been able to deal with these huge debt problems is by jubilees. By forgiveness of massive forgiveness of debt every 50 or 60 years, because people just get into debt in this system. They just do. It's not that they're criminals. It's not that they want to. It becomes a part. Some people profit.
And it's a part of family history too. You know, if your family
too.
For me to
right.
me, not having both of my parents in the household and what they were going through financially in their lives to me rolled into my lives. You know what I mean? My life. You know what I mean? For seeing them, watching them argue over money and then abusing drugs, and then being arrested themselves and accruing all the things
but
that they...
But I'm just saying, even if you proceed to try to do an ordinary working job, and if you don't use drugs except for those wonderful prescription drugs
that are much more lethal,
but nonetheless you're supposed to, and expensive. Know, supposed to use, still, you will and others will get into vast amounts of debt because that's the nature of the society you live in. So every 50 or 60 years, you have to have this kind of debt forgiveness or the society goes under. So that's your idea, Madison. I like it. You know,
credit rollback. And everybody in the entire country gets, okay, we're erasing everything on these computers, and everyone gets to start again at 800. It's like going to the 8th grade from 7th grade.
Yeah. Right? They were actually supposed to take 7 years. They're supposed to take some of your credit off your credit report, right? I still have those things on my report.
Obama voting for laws to make it harder to get these credit things done because they are, you know, essentially in league with large financial interests. That's
I had three calls to major economists this year and advice to them, and my economic theory is called the Whirlpool Economics, and that's what we're in. And I have a whole theory, I have a whole art series on it.
Okay, well, I appreciate the suggestion. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on your economic theories right now.
Maybe I can come on Sunday. Maybe we'll put it aside.
Maybe.
Okay, nice to talk to you.
No promises.
You should be a poet and get out and talk more, Rebecca.
I am. I am a poet. I'm out here. Here I am. Come see me on Pacific Avenue.
Bring your money with you.
I'm on Maple.
Oh, a dollar or two. That'd be nice.
I'm on Maple. Come see my sign. Fitzgerald for president.
All right.
Going up. Bye.
Thanks, Madison.
So, you're tuned to Free Radio, and we may even get more than two callers tonight. You never can tell. 427-3772. Anyway, I was giving a description of the drum circle and the kind of the history. I tend to get wrapped up in the history. But people have taken back the space. People have taken back the drum circle.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that they have to you know,
fight for it is so
crazy.
It's ridiculous. We didn't ask to be.
And see, there it is. We were talking earlier about it. So you don't want to be involved in a fight. You don't want to be involved in the clash. But unfortunately,
I understand that I'm involved in it.
You have to take it back. So you
I wish that wish is a wish, but I wish that the police officers would understand that although we don't have the prescriptions for them, some of us, and things like that, that some of the substances that people use, and I'm not talking about abuse, I'm talking about use, are in their own minds and for themselves for medical reasons and for spiritual reasons, you know? And so and when you find a group of people that get together and they're smoking marijuana, for instance, you know what I mean? In some sense, it's like community. It's almost like church. It's where you find yourself comfortable at. You know what I mean? And then that's when they come in and they feel like, oh, this is just way beyond our control. And that makes them afraid. And that fear makes them respond in a way that is not
well, unfortunately, you know, while you can hope that people will be
very humane sometimes,
you can hope that people will be reasonable with each other. You need really power to make sure that that happens, and the power of solidarity in the community, people coming together. That's the reason that the farmers market's drum circle, or the drum circle next to the farmers market, has been reclaimed. Not because you know they don't mind rough, you know, manhandling you and hauling you off to jail over something completely ridiculous, but they don't want to do it to a whole bunch of people because that's expensive, that's costly, creates a scandal, raises the issue of civil liberties. The ACLU might sticking its nose in, however timid they've been here in Santa Cruz.
ACLU,
in the past, American Civil Liberties Union, it's a civil liberties group. Mm-hmm. So it really is, you know, it's where there are more people involved, you have more solidarity. I'm going to play some interviews now. If you have any thoughts on them, just let me know and we'll stop and talk about them.
Okay.
These are from the street, and, well, folks can call in if they'd like, 427-3772. Otherwise, we're just going to play on here.
Okay. We're down here on Pacific Avenue talking with a known weed criminal. Your first name, sir?
We'll call you,
I don't know, Six Pack. So, Six Pack, you're here in front of Acapulco. Where's your weed?
Detained.
Which officer detained it?
Winston.
Officer Winston. And was it, we're talking about 3 pounds of marijuana, perhaps?
Of course not.
I didn't think so. What were the circumstances in which you came up? Were you giving it away to anyone passing by?
Yeah, I was giving it away to a friend of mine.
Uh-huh. And what did Winston come up alone or in company?
By himself.
And what did he say to you?
He asked me what I gave him.
You said, none of your beeswax, Winston. Buzz off.
No, yeah, it's like nothing. Mm-hmm. I was like, I gave him a dollar. trying to mess with him or something, but then, you know, he didn't get it or whatever. But, like...
And here's a point that was made to me, and again, I'm not giving you the final word on this, but you might think about this. While it is illegal to lie to the FBI, it is not illegal to lie to the Santa Cruz Police Department, provided you are not doing it to obstruct justice. However, it's always best not to say anything if you can avoid it, or to talk about other things, or to ask questions rather than give answers, or to talk to the crowd that's gathering as the police attempt to harass you. Again, it's easy for the police to win in court with charges like Black Rose is facing here with resisting arrest. If you, in any way, once they've said or indicated you're under arrest or not free to go, attempt to leave or do anything of that smacks of resistance in the sense of not letting yourself be handcuffed, you can say, I don't want to be searched. You can say, I do not consent to a search. You can say, I have nothing more to say to you, officer. Am I free to go? If they say no, you say, good. I want to speak to an attorney. I have nothing more to say. And they can't make you talk. And they can't draw the inference that you're guilty. And they'll say things to you like, oh, well, you know, if you're innocent and if you got nothing to hide, why don't you just talk to us? And imagine if somebody who you didn't know came up to you on the street and said, hey, you got nothing to hide, why don't you just talk to me? Well, you might say, because I don't know you, motherfucker. Get away from me. You know, maybe I don't feel like talking to you. Or maybe if you didn't have my hands in handcuffs behind my back, I might feel more like talking to you. Right. So in other words, police officers, and they may be very good people, and in many respects, I know police officers I like personally, just because I like people, you know, even when they have these uniforms, guns, badges, and crazy attitudes on. It's more than some of them. It's, you know, I'm sorry, I got to have your mic up there. I apologize, but hearing this murmur in the background, that was Black Rose trying to talk and not succeeding. So let's hear some more from the street interview of the I don't want to call him the unfortunate
Six Pack.
Thank you, Six Pack. Isn't that, that's not his real name? But let's hear more of what he says.
That was my bad.
Now, what did he take it? What did he cite you for?
Possession of marijuana less than an ounce.
And now that is something you can go to a jury trial for if you want, and you'll probably be acquitted in Santa Cruz if you take it all the way. If people, you got one juror who says, I think this is a bunch of shit. On the other hand, it requires going through a lot of court shit.
Well, I did have my marijuana card until August the 6th.
So do you have a medical condition that actually requires you or makes it easier for you once you use marijuana? You're pointing to your left knee. What's the story?
Knee problems.
Knee problems. Pain or?
Pain. Yeah.
Right. Was Officer Winston courteous in dealing with you? Was he abusive? Was he nice?
He was all right.
He was actually, okay.
Well, I kind of started joking around with him, you know, with some stuff, you know.
Did he smoke your marijuana as he walked off? No, probably not.
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. Never know, man.
Yes, indeed. What happens to all that marijuana once it hits the station? It's supposed to be booked into evidence, of course. Anything else happening down here you've noticed, Six Pack?
Nah, not too much.
By the way, Six Pack is not this man's real name. It is a slanderous designation I've given him, and I apologize. Thank you. We're talking with known drum criminal Suzanne. Suzanne, what did you do that caused Officer Sergeant Harm so much concern that he drove away everyone, mind you, from the drum circle area yesterday?
Well, apparently it wasn't me. It was the dog that was chasing the tires. It was a known person named Bam Bam.
Now, what's happening here is actually we've jumped back to August. This is the point in time when the police actually did drive away everyone from the drum circle before people got together to resist this and to reclaim the space.
Who has a dog who chases cars, and as much as we hate that he does it, he still does it. We can't stop him. We've tried to stop him. And
Bam Bam chases cars or his dog?
His dog.
His dog.
His dog, and he doesn't stop him. He thinks it's funny.
Right.
So they said that the dog was chasing cars, and the people were complaining, and that there were four flat tires found just in the last couple weeks from a dog chewing the tire. Yeah, they were saying the dog had chewed
the farmer's market area.
Farmer's market area.
Right.
And then they also said that there was methamphetamines being sold there, which if you ask any of the drummers there, none of them are doing it.
Pretty laid back for methamphetamine.
Exactly.
So how many officers were involved here?
I believe there was three there. There was three there that stayed the whole time. But there was like...
One, Azula, and Klein, Azula, and Watson.
What about Sergeant Harms?
Yeah. And Dana Aldridge. Albright.
Officer Aldridge. Well, now, when did you arrive, Suzanne, at this crime scene?
I actually avoided it because I came into town and there was three cops that all drove by me and gave me this evil look. And I was like, what? What's going on? And then my friends came walking by and they said, they stopped the drum circle. They stopped the drum circle. So I stayed down here to see who was going to come walking back
here
from
being
it.
Newly...
I stopped them to figure out, yeah, what was going to happen.
So you didn't actually go to the drum circle area?
I didn't. Everybody told me not to go.
Well, remember, next week there may be quite a congregation.
I didn't want to go without a camera. So we're going to go next week with cameras and put it on YouTube.
That's our place.
Yes.
Thing, and, yep. And nothing is wrong with that.
The matter is that citizens that even don't like the drum circle still like those trees, and we don't want to give them up for that parking lot.
No, I'm not giving up that drum circle. It's too important. It's too. I've been here for 31 fucking years, bro. You know, it's like that thing is important to me.
Nobody was ever.
And it's important to everybody. It's important to you too. It's like an important thing.
I know.
I love the drum circle, and it's like it really makes a big fucking difference. It keeps everybody mellow. It keeps everybody happy. And keeps everybody cool.
We're talking with
the drum circle.
No, we're talking about the drum circle. What is your name, sir?
It's Thomas Preston.
Thomas, thank you.
My name has always been.
Of course, and my memory is as full of holes as it always is.
I don't know who the fuck I am. I've known you for 9 years.
I know who you are, but do I know your name?
I've known you for fucking 20 fucking years, man.
Indeed. So you'll be at the drum circle next Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Now, what about you, sir? You're looking over a book. Are you... Are you a colluder in this conspiracy of drummers?
No.
I'm glad at least there's one man whose head is screwed on squarely or straightly, as the case may be.
Yes, I'm a lead guitar player. I don't associate with drummers.
Well, what are you doing sitting next to this woman with her drum?
I'm not associating. I'm ignoring her.
You're disassociative, obviously.
I'm reading my book.
I see. So you're reading her accounts of life, love.
Yeah, there's a shirt that says Santa Cruz on it. It's like...
All right, then. Well, we've been talking with
Suzanne, drummer girl.
Thank you, Suzanne. And with, of course, the notorious Thomas.
Oh, yes.
There's a man on a bench in front of Borders at about 15 to 9 on Thursday night, September 4th. The sign says, now accepting donations for psychedelic time travel in a very legible print. What's your name?
My name is Irish. And actually, I did not write this. A hippie girl did and left it behind the new leaf.
I see. I
happened to find it, so I was pretty lucky.
Are you, in fact, looking for accepting donations for psychedelic time travel, or are you looking for something more easily understandable like a hamburger?
Actually, psychedelic time travel is what I'd prefer.
You're looking for mind-altering drugs?
Acid.
Well, that's mind-altering, or mind-manifesting, consciousness-manifesting, as some call it. It's psychedelic, as they say.
Yeah.
Anything happening downtown that we should know about?
Not really. The cops gave one bro some shit, but he got put in his place and understands. So tonight's been kind of slow, actually.
Okay, so no hassles. I don't see any police around, so are they out tonight? Or?
They were earlier, mostly around 6, probably to like 7:30, something like that. Officer Harms was out walking around. Mm-hmm. But he didn't really, hassle anybody. He's kind of surprised that today they weren't really clamping down because they have, the last week or two.
And the lion.
I hear you. Well, thank you. We've been talking with...
My name's Irish.
Thank you,
Irish. Well, I guess I'm going to have to go because I got a lot of cigarette smoke and I got to get busy all day. Well, smoke your cigarette. Well, smoke till you smoke yourself down. Cause if it goes dead, you just ain't making way. Just got to have just one more cigarette.
We're down here on Pacific Avenue. It's a beautiful Wednesday. Luckily, we're in the shade. It's October 15th, about 20 to 12. We're talking with...
Valerie Promise.
Valerie, I understand last night you observed the police sternly disciplining someone in front of New Leaf, or actually it was in front of Borders. Tell us the story.
Well, let's see. I came out of
badass. I don't know what time it was. It was dark already, 7-something maybe. And I saw there's a woman shrieking across the street. She was in front of Borders, and when I looked closer, I saw that the police officer was restraining her against the trash can. So I went over to New Leaf, where the musicians were, to see if Valerie or anybody had any idea what to do about it. So she followed me back across the street to Borders. By that time, they had her on the ground, and she was still shrieking but not resisting, and it didn't seem like they were trying to get her to do anything. I did not see her resisting or struggling. It seemed they were only interested in making a show of force. So I asked them, you know, please don't hurt her, and they said they're not hurting her, but, you know, she looked like she was in pain to me, just clearly being restrained, and it was unclear what they were trying to do with her. Anyway, a crowd gathered, and everybody was getting outraged because this woman was not fighting back. Maybe she had earlier, but, you know, there's no sign of struggle for several minutes, and the crowd was yelling at the police, and they, you know, refused to take heed. Even Lee, who's normally very peaceful, you know, got, you know, all upset and said, what would Jesus say about this, and this is a disgrace and that kind of thing. So it was really upsetting to everybody standing around, too.
How many police officers are involved?
Two to begin with, but there's also a plainclothes guy who, when I stepped up to talk to the police, said you need to give the police a place to work, at a badge and a ear thing, but otherwise
notice anybody's name or...
And then Sergeant Harms came along later, so there were at least four, and then after they had gotten her into the police car, more police showed up to wrap it up, I guess.
Did they say what they were charging her with?
They did not. She said something about they were arresting her for homelessness, so I'm guessing that they had, you know, maybe she had a camping ticket and they had a warrant for her arrest.
How long did the whole thing take?
It was several minutes. It looked like all they were trying to do was just show their physical superiority. It didn't seem like they were trying to accomplish any purpose, and the crowd was getting more and more upset. They were really disturbing the peace.
Now, we're about half a block away from there. We're standing near the Palomar Inn, and it's up there near Borders. Was a police car double parked, kind of half blocking the road?
It was on the corner. It wouldn't have been parked legally, but I don't think it was blocking the road.
Okay. As frequently they sent apart for long periods of time, and seemed to be rather, well, indifferent to the effect they may have on traffic, because they are, after all, the Santa Cruz Police Department.
Well, I think there's really an agenda to look as dramatic and heroic as possible. I think it's sickening. I think it's causing more trouble. So I'd like to know who's behind this, and you know, who sets the tone for how the police handle things.
I'm pausing in this account, which is from Valerie Promise, or Mother Val, as she's called, because I see you nodding, Rebecca. I see you nodding.
Yeah, because I do agree with that part. Again, I like to consider myself a pretty harmonious person, but I think that they instill fear into people. And I was nodding to the part where she said, you know, they have this air of, like, you know, heroicness, you know what I mean? Like, this, watch out, this can happen to you, too, if you just don't do what we say, you know what I mean? That part I agree with. I think that it's more about not so much that you're doing something wrong with it. They need to show people around you, if you even look like you will do something wrong, what are those dreadlocks doing in your hair? You know what I mean? Or, you know, how dare you not get a regular job like the rest of us good people? Then they come out and they, yeah, make you feel like you're beneath them, yeah, just by the badges and the guns. And I do agree with that part.
I noticed you also nodded when she said that it looked like you were in pain, didn't look like you were resisting.
I was in pain. I was in pain internally and externally. Internally by feeling, again, like we're not past this. You know, we're not past the point where you have to drag people off screaming and crying over such a stupid thing as where I'm laying my head at night. I was embarrassed that America that I love, where, you know, where I was born, that we're not, you know, past that. I think that's the most ridiculous thing, you know. And so internally, I was, a part of the crying was from that, and externally, yeah, I mean, I have two guys on me, one with his knee in my neck, you know, and the other one holding my arm, and I'm a woman, and I'm thinking, oh my God, like,
you're short, you're not a big husky woman, you're
5'5" and a half,
and good looking, I might add. I had to say that.
Thanks.
Sure. Continuing with this account, and I think there are some other accounts, too.
troublemakers. I've seen the drum circle on Wednesdays.
I'm a peacemaker.
I see. Will you be there today while the vandals tear down the green mesh fence?
Unfortunately not. I have to go up to Felton to be with my kid.
Ah, so luckily you will be away from the scene of that crime, which you no doubt are perhaps orchestrating?
I'm not orchestrating anything, but I would like the city council members and staff to come down and talk to the drum circle folks in person instead of making assumptions about what they want and what they believe.
Hmm. We've been talking with
Mama Val Promise.
Thank you. Swami declines to be recorded, but reportedly he believes that the woman in question was either resisting or assaulting. In fact, we got the same story from Donnie, who's a trumpeter who felt that there was resistance on the part of the woman.
It should be said, however, that I heard afterward that Swami, who's a fellow who gives out spiritual advice outside of the coffee roasting company, has a blanket in that general vicinity. Was not present when it happened, so he may have taken a second-hand account. And Donnie, the trumpeter, who is often downtown playing music, and he was afraid to actually talk about it because he was apparently so intimidated by the police.
And he had already approached me.
Say that again?
Donnie took it upon himself to, when I got into town, to tell me. Far be it for me to know how he felt appointed to do this, but to come tell me that the boyfriend that I'm with, you know, he doesn't want kids. You know what I mean? I'm the kind of guy that wants to settle down and have
Donnie
kids.
Donnie wants to get into your pants. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, we're getting pretty...
I don't know. I did not say that, but I will say, like, I already don't like the way that he approached me from the beginning. I just now started talking to him again.
There may have been a personal element, is what you're saying, in his account of suggesting that you resisted... You know, I mean, Val Promise is a pretty, she and I think your her position on these issues with respect to police is closer to yours than to mine. I mean, she you know, she's into the peacemaker thing, mm-hmm, and the, mm-hmm. Why can't we all be friends? Why can't we all get along? Which I agree with, of course. Mm-hmm. But my belief is that the institutional structures are so...
jacked up already.
Yeah, they're part of the procedures and processes that mm-hmm. they have to use. Mm-hmm. It's not, they have no choice. I mean, they do. They can quit their job. And some cops do, very few.
They quit
few.
Their job, but yeah. I'm sure they're afraid of ending up being somebody like we are.
Yeah,
like
they're afraid of being homeless. Yeah. They're afraid of being poor. Or it's just, you know, they believe it's somehow a useful social function. They've been led to believe that, you know, maybe they don't like
that
running
they're
around.
Helping, that they're helping in some way.
Yeah, they don't like harassing you particularly, but they feel that they have this whole training procedure. Well, you ask her a question, and she's supposed to answer, and she doesn't answer. She doesn't respond, A, B,
then she's
C, D.
Showing the rest of the community what they could do to us as well.
Right, we have to assert our authority, and then we bring in a bunch of police, and we take her down, and we handcuff her.
Right, and that's always been my issue. I don't believe that the police are authority over me. To me, you are a human being just like me. Now, I believe you
have... Anarchist.
I believe you have the right to ask questions. I think we all have the right to ask questions. You know what I mean? For the purpose of having
lives,
a safe society.
Not just ask questions.
But yeah. In that regard, we should be able to ask them questions, too. And as soon as they come up to us and say, what's your name? We should be able to, in response to that question, after giving a response, say, and Mr. Officer, what's your name? And have our own pads and write down things as well. You know what I mean? But where it's an imbalance is where we have to be the one being scanned knowing who's scanning us.
I understand, and I appreciate the fact you're trying to get a parity, but the problem is even in that example, there's no parity because while an officer can make use of the information you give him to hold you responsible for criminal behavior, you can't do that on the other end. He can abuse people
right,
in front of your eyes.
I agree with you. I think
you
that we should be able to use that information.
Right,
we
can't.
Can say, you know, I can say, okay, you got my name. What's your name? Just in case this whole thing goes awry like it did.
Right. I mean, and the police department will tell you, we'll give you our name. Here's our card. Here's our badge. We'll tell you who we are. But the real issue is when you really try to get real parity, like somebody asked Sergeant Arms, do you live in Santa Cruz? He wouldn't answer. You know, he doesn't mind acting like your big buddy and your big friend and chattering with you about a number of things. And, you know, I think he's persuaded himself he is a nice guy. But what he really is doing so is within the context of who's smoking marijuana around here, who's doing this, who's doing that, who's selling drugs, who's engaging in petty theft, and a lot of things, frankly, that I think are class crimes. That is to say, that people do to survive. In an economy where it's hard to get work, or as even if you point out, you know, you make your choices in order to be a free person to do different things at different times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And therefore, I don't think there's a, you know, you can't really draw that kind of mathematical equality and say, well, he asked me my name, I want to be able to ask him his name. It's more like...
I'm not saying that that's what happens. I think,
right.
though, it should be that
right,
way, because it would get them off their high horses, so to speak.
For that, it's true. You can do that. But the problem is that you can't get any real responsibility.
Except that I've found in cases in the past with dealing with officers, the ones that will respond to these questions to you, right, as it's going along, communicate with you, not to kind of talk down to you as if I'm talking and you're listening, but we are in communication right now together.
Sure.
The ones that talk about like that, they find when you're asking questions that you need to be treated with more dignity. Some of them. I'm saying there are people that will just shut you right down.
I don't want to worry about giving them training sessions now to treat us with dignity, because the whole business, they shouldn't be treating you at all. In other words, they have no business even stopping you. They have no business even talking to you. I mean, they might have business talking to you as a friend or as
a person. But that's where I disagree.
Right. I mean, I don't think.
I'm totally into asking questions and being informed.
Well, I think that as individuals who are not in uniform, they might, but not as individuals in uniform, unless they're investigating a specific crime. That's where I have a civil liberties perspective on that. We have about 6 minutes left in the show, and for all you listeners, in the studio with me is Black Rose. As a singer, you'll be able to find her on the street, probably around the same place you were arrested. Still hanging out at the scene of the crime. You know.
Yeah, and I hang in Lorenzo Park, too, if you want to come up and talk. And if anybody knows any information about open mic nights or places to just get on and share poetry and songs, please stop and talk to me.
But do you want to have children right now is the question.
I wouldn't mind having one more in my lifetime.
I see. Well, actually, it was a sexual overture.
Oh,
the most
God.
Crude sort. We're not going to get into that. I won't even give you the answer.
Because I'm pressing charges.
She's pressing sexual harassment in the studio here in Free Radio Santa Cruz. If anybody saw this incident and wants to report on it, please give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I think having made your statements to the police, you probably have given them all the evidence they need. But, you know, it's also true that the public account you've given, I think, is an embarrassing matter for the police department, because they approached you with the wrong charge, inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
They approached you on in Santa Cruz, the warrants don't go out for sleeping.
And
they
that's what I intended to point out.
And that's what you did point out, and you were, I think, successful in that, and I think the more witnesses to that, the better. So 423-HUFF, 423-4833 is the number to call. Very shortly, we're going to have our next broadcaster. It's going to come into the station here. And, of course, we have a telephone call at the very end of the show. Hi there. You're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert, can you give that lady my number? This is Andrea.
Sure. Andrea, what you might do is
I've got a pen.
Because I'm really struggling, Robert. I've been really struggling with last month. And
you want to give it to her on air or not?
No.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the phone with her, okay?
Hang on. Yeah.
Andrea? Hello? Hello? Okay, Andrea, try calling back, and we'll put you on the phone with her. Call back again. We'll do it that way. I've got a couple of announcements I want to make quickly before the show ends. I will be back on Sunday with more exciting adventures of who knows who on the street. Perhaps you. Andrea? So... couple things are happening. There's going to be a couple of days, and remember, sell, and people are going to need a lot more support from each other as times get tougher. Be more generous, not less, and maybe it'll
come
back.
Love.
Yeah, and hug me if you can, particularly if you're young and attractive, as certain people are here.
Yeah, not just if you're young and attractive. Tell me if you need a hug, seriously.
I will. We'll talk about that. All right. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Thank you.
Up stepped a bold sea captain, and he stood at my bedhead, saying, "Rise up, rise up, Riley, and come along with me to the lowlands of Holland, oh, to fight and never flee. Our ship, she lies in harbor with her anchor at her prow. There's a gale. Grows on every tree, and the lowlands of Holland haunted my love and me. Yeah.
say, oh baby, every word I say, I'm gonna back it up, gonna give it up, I'm gonna put you right on my mind, I'm gonna back it up, yeah, yeah, I'm gonna put you right.
We're still trying to figure out what's going on around here. This is, of course, Free Radio Santa Cruz. I am Uncle Dennis, and somehow the end of that song just came a little bit too fast. Yeah, trying to shush people out of the studio and get a show together and adjust all the little knobs that get readjusted every week by people who don't know what they're doing. Anyway. You are listening to From the Cream to the Dregs, and we're going to wind our way through the 60s and 70s rock and roll for the next 3 hours as we just sort of get it on here. Want to remind folks that Free Radio Santa Cruz can use your donations on an ongoing basis. We're particularly looking for people who can donate $5, $10, $15, $20 each and every month to keep us on the air in 2009. So, if you can do that, send your first check to Free Radio Santa Cruz, P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061, or go to our website, www.freakradio.org, and click on the donate button, and our safe, secure PayPal will take your money and give it to us. That's the way it goes. All right, we just heard a little bit of Joe Bonamassa. Yeah, what a blues man he is, and we're going to go to the... probably one of the best blues men of the 1960s. Very popular, very talented. I mean, anybody can play guitar upside down, left-handed. I can't do that. Maybe you can. But, anyway, let's listen to about 8 minutes of Jimi Hendrix here, Room Full of Mirrors.
Okay, here we go. No, don't forget that boom, boom. Whatever you do, as long as you got that boom, boom. Because the bass is kicking right with you. Okay, here we go. Yeah. But don't stop that tambourine. Don't stop that cymbal, though. Okay, here we go one more time.